the private diaries of Rome's greatest emperor, the letters of a wise playwright, and the lectures of a former slave. These ancient documents contain some of history's most profound wisdom. While many dismiss Stoicism as mere emotionlessness, it's actually a vibrant, action-oriented approach to living well. This philosophy, once embraced by figures like George Washington and Theodore Roosevelt, has found renewed popularity among modern CEOs, professional athletes, and artists seeking practical guidance for challenging lives. Ryan Holiday's The Daily Stoic Journal transforms this ancient wisdom into an accessible daily practice. The book has become a cultural phenomenon, with celebrities like Tim Ferriss and Maria Sharapova citing its influence on their lives. What makes this work so powerful is how it distills complex philosophical concepts into practical exercises anyone can apply, creating a roadmap for developing resilience, purpose, and joy amidst life's unpredictability. Stoicism originated in Athens around 300 BCE, when Zeno of Citium began teaching on a painted porch, Stoa Poikile, in the heart of the city. The philosophy asserts that virtue, particularly self-control, courage, justice, and wisdom, constitutes the only true path to happiness. The philosophy's central insight is revolutionary yet simple. Our perceptions of things, rather than the things themselves, cause our troubles. For instance, it's not loss itself that hurts us, but our opinion about loss. Not criticism that wounds us, but our interpretation of criticism. As Stoicism evolved from Greece to Rome through figures like Seneca, Epictetus, and Marcus Aurelius, it became increasingly practical and action-oriented. The Romans shifted focus from abstract theoretical discussions to pressing real-life questions. How does one live well? What's the best way to manage anger? How should we handle adversity? This evolution produced three critical disciplines that form the backbone of Stoic practice: perception, how we see and interpret the world; action, the decisions and responses we make; and will, how we handle things beyond our control. These disciplines aren't merely theoretical constructs, but robust practical tools designed for daily use in an unpredictable world. The perception discipline teaches us to see things objectively and clearly, stripping away the emotional overlay we typically add to events. For example, rather than seeing a job loss as terrible or devastating, we learn to see it simply as a change in employment status. The action discipline guides us toward effective and virtuous behavior by focusing on what we can do rather than what we wish would happen. The will discipline helps us develop wisdom and perspective about what we can and cannot control, accepting external events while focusing our energy on our responses. This three-part framework provides a comprehensive approach to life's challenges, whether personal or professional. When facing any situation, we can systematically apply three questions. Am I seeing this clearly? Perception. Am I responding appropriately? Action. Am I accepting what I cannot change? Will. A traffic jam becomes an opportunity to practice patience. A difficult colleague becomes a chance to exercise understanding. A failed project becomes a lesson in resilience. The practical power of this framework lies in its versatility and simplicity. Whether dealing with minor daily irritations or major life crises, these three disciplines offer a structured way to process and respond to events. Modern practitioners find these ancient tools remarkably relevant for managing modern challenges, from digital overwhelm to workplace stress to relationship difficulties. The framework's enduring relevance speaks to its fundamental insight into human nature and its practical approach to living well. The most crucial practice in Stoicism is differentiating between what we can change and what we can't. Like the Serenity Prayer used in recovery communities, Stoics recognize that time spent fighting immovable objects is time not spent on things we can actually influence. This fundamental principle, known as the dichotomy of control, serves as the cornerstone of Stoic philosophy and practical wisdom. The chief task in life is simply this, to identify and separate matters so that I can say clearly to myself which are externals not under my control and which have to do with the choices I actually control, taught Epictetus. This distinction gives us tremendous power over our experience. While we cannot control external events, we maintain absolute authority over our opinions about those events. Everything outside our control, the world, other people, luck, natural disasters, economic conditions, presents a corresponding area within our control, our judgment, interpretation, and response to it. This perspective shift proves profoundly liberating in daily life. When someone criticizes you, you can't control their words, but you can control your response, whether to take offense, seek constructive feedback, or simply acknowledge their perspective without emotional attachment. When you're stuck in traffic, you can't make the cars move, but you can choose how to use that time, perhaps listening to audiobooks, practicing mindfulness, or planning your day. When illness strikes, you may not control your body's condition, but you control how you frame and respond to that challenge, whether to view it as pure misfortune or as an opportunity for growth and adaptation. The Stoic approach isn't passive resignation, but active engagement with the one domain where we have genuine power, our own mind. This includes our thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, intentions, and efforts. By redirecting our energy from the uncontrollable to the controllable, we discover a profound sense of agency even in the most challenging circumstances. Marcus Aurelius demonstrated this principle while leading Rome through wars and plagues, showing that even emperors must focus on what they can control rather than lamenting what they cannot. This practice requires constant vigilance and honest self-assessment. Before reacting to any situation, Stoics pause to ask, "Is this within my control?" This simple question becomes a powerful tool for maintaining emotional equilibrium and directing energy effectively. It helps distinguish between productive action and futile worry, between meaningful effort and wasted anxiety. Through this disciplined approach, we learn to find peace not by controlling the world around us, but by mastering our response to it. Just as athletes train their bodies for competition, Stoics train their minds for life's inevitable challenges. This training involves deliberate practice, repetition, and gradually increasing difficulty, not unlike physical exercise. The goal isn't to eliminate emotions, but to develop the strength to handle them appropriately. One key training method involves voluntary discomfort, deliberately experiencing hardship to build resilience. Seneca advised, "Set aside a certain number of days, during which you shall be content with the scantiest and cheapest fare, with coarse and rough dress, saying to yourself the while, 'Is this the condition that I feared?'" By practicing poverty, hunger, isolation, or whatever else you fear, these conditions begin to feel normal and less frightening. Another crucial training technique is negative visualization, premeditatio malorum. By imagining potential setbacks or losses beforehand, we reduce their impact when they actually occur. As Epictetus taught, when you are going to take something in hand, remind yourself what kind of thing it is. If you're embracing your child, remember that they are mortal. If you're enjoying a possession, acknowledge it could be lost or broken. This practice doesn't breed pessimism, but cultivates a deeper appreciation for what we have while it's here. The Stoics also emphasize the importance of daily reflection. Marcus Aurelius began each morning by preparing himself for the day's challenges. Begin each day by telling yourself, "Today I shall be meeting with interference, ingratitude, insolence, disloyalty, ill will, and selfishness." This wasn't pessimism, but preparation. By anticipating difficulties, he could respond with wisdom rather than surprise or anger. These training methods build what the Stoics called the inner citadel, a fortress protecting the soul. Though physically vulnerable and subject to fate, our inner domain remains impregnable if we've trained it properly. The Stoics made a radical claim that fundamentally challenged conventional thinking. Virtue is the only true good, and everything else, wealth, health, reputation, pleasure, social status, even life itself, is ultimately indifferent. This doesn't mean these indifferents have no practical value, but rather that they're secondary to virtue and can be used for good or ill depending on our approach to them. Like tools in a craftsman's workshop, their worth depends entirely on how they're wielded. This perspective stands in stark opposition to our modern obsession with external markers of success and material accumulation. As Seneca astutely observed, it is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor. True wealth, the Stoics argued, comes not from accumulating possessions, but from limiting desires and finding contentment in what we have. The person who wants only what they already possess is infinitely richer than someone who has everything but constantly yearns for more, a lesson particularly relevant in our consumer-driven society. The four cardinal virtues in Stoicism, wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance, provide a comprehensive framework for evaluating our choices and actions. Wisdom, prudentia, helps us make good decisions by understanding the true nature of things and discerning right from wrong. Courage, fortitudo, enables us to face difficulties without flinching and persist in the face of adversity. Justice, justitia, guides our interactions with others, ensuring we treat everyone with fairness and respect. Temperance, temperantia, keeps our desires and impulses in check, helping us maintain self-control and moderation in all things. By focusing on these virtues rather than external outcomes, we gain independence from fortune's whims and circumstances beyond our control. A virtuous person remains undiminished by poverty, illness, or public disgrace, because their true worth lies in their character, something that remains entirely within their control. As Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. This perspective transforms obstacles from barriers into opportunities for practicing virtue. The Stoic position on external circumstances is nuanced. They don't advocate for asceticism or denial of life's pleasures. They still prefer health to illness, prosperity to poverty, and comfort to discomfort. However, they recognize that external circumstances don't determine their happiness or worth. A Stoic might enjoy good fortune while it lasts, but won't be crushed when it inevitably changes. By valuing virtue above all else, they find a stable foundation for contentment regardless of external events. This focus on virtue as the sole good provides a powerful antidote to anxiety about things we can't control. Instead of worrying about outcomes, we can focus on acting with wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance in any situation. Whether we succeed or fail in conventional terms becomes less important than whether we've maintained our integrity and lived according to our principles. One of the most powerful Stoic insights is that we only ever possess the present moment. The past is gone, the future hasn't arrived, and both lie beyond our control. Yet we spend countless hours ruminating on past mistakes or anxiously anticipating future events, neglecting the only time we can actually influence, right now. Don't let your reflection on the whole sweep of life crush you, advised Marcus Aurelius. Don't fill your mind with all the bad things that might still happen. Stay focused on the present situation. This practice of presence doesn't just reduce anxiety, it enhances our ability to respond effectively to whatever's happening. The Stoics developed various techniques to maintain this present-focused awareness. One approach involves breaking overwhelming situations into manageable parts. Rather than thinking about an entire project, focus on the next action. Rather than worrying about a year of hardship, concentrate on getting through today. Another technique involves recognizing the transience of all things. When something pleasant occurs, acknowledge its temporary nature. When something painful happens, remember, this too shall pass. This perspective doesn't diminish our experiences, but places them in their proper context. Perhaps most importantly, the Stoics emphasize that our experience of the present moment depends largely on our interpretation. If you are pained by any external thing, Marcus wrote, it is not this thing that disturbs you, but your own judgment about it. By questioning our automatic judgments and choosing more constructive interpretations, we transform how we experience each moment. This practice of presence isn't about ignoring the future or forgetting the past. It's about recognizing that our power always exists in the present moment. The past can inform us, and the future can motivate us, but only the present. While Stoicism emphasizes internal development, it equally stresses our responsibilities to others. The Stoics believed humans are naturally social beings, designed to help one another. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, "We were born to work together like feet, hands, and eyes, like the two rows of teeth, upper and lower." This interconnectedness wasn't just philosophical. It formed the foundation of Stoic ethics and practical living. This social dimension of Stoicism manifests in several ways. First, it calls us to justice in our dealings with others, treating people fairly, honoring commitments, and respecting their autonomy. This means not only avoiding obvious wrongs, but actively promoting fairness in our daily interactions, from business dealings to personal relationships. Second, it encourages active contribution to our communities rather than withdrawal from society. Stoics were often leaders, teachers, and public servants, demonstrating that philosophical wisdom should be applied in the real world. Third, it promotes understanding and forgiveness toward those who wrong us, recognizing that people generally act according to what they believe is right, even when misguided. The concept of cosmopolitanism, being a citizen of the world rather than just a particular city or nation, was central to Stoic thought. Heracles described this as drawing concentric circles around oneself, with family in the innermost circle, then friends, fellow citizens, and ultimately all humanity. The goal was to draw these circles inward, treating even strangers with the concern we naturally feel for those closest to us. This practice involves actively expanding our sphere of concern and recognizing our shared humanity across cultural and national boundaries. This doesn't mean Stoics tolerate injustice or fail to stand up against wrongdoing. On the contrary, their commitment to virtue often required opposing corruption and tyranny. Cato the Younger exemplified this by standing against Julius Caesar's power grab, and Seneca criticized Nero's excesses despite the personal danger. But they did so without hatred, recognizing that even wrongdoers act from misunderstanding rather than inherent evil. This approach allows for firm opposition to harmful actions while maintaining compassion for the human being behind them. The Stoic approach to social duty balances self-development with service to others. By improving ourselves, we become better equipped to help others. By helping others, we fulfill our nature as social beings. This creates a virtuous cycle where personal growth and social contribution reinforce each other. As Seneca put it, "No one can live happily who has regard to himself alone and transforms everything into a question of his own utility." Epictetus further emphasized this point by teaching that our roles, as family members, citizens, and humans, come with inherent responsibilities we must fulfill to live virtuously. In practice, this means engaging in community service, mentoring others, participating in civic duties, and maintaining strong family relationships. It also involves developing our skills and knowledge not merely for personal benefit, but to better serve society. The Stoic sage isn't a hermit in isolation, but an active participant in human affairs, working to improve both self and society simultaneously. The culmination of Stoic practice is acceptance, not passive resignation, but active embrace of reality as it is. This doesn't mean abandoning efforts to improve situations that can be changed. Rather, it means acknowledging the limits of our control and finding peace with whatever remains outside it. This distinction is crucial. Stoic acceptance empowers rather than paralyzes, focusing our energy on effective action rather than futile resistance. Don't seek for everything to happen as you wish it would, but rather wish that everything happens as it actually will. Then your life will flow well, taught Epictetus. This attitude transforms our relationship with external events. Instead of fighting against reality, we align ourselves with it, conserving energy and finding opportunities even in difficult circumstances. When faced with job loss, for instance, a Stoic practitioner might acknowledge the pain while immediately focusing on new possibilities rather than dwelling on what cannot be changed. The Stoics developed this capacity through various practices, each designed to strengthen our ability to accept reality without losing our drive to improve it. One approach involved viewing unwanted events as opportunities for growth. The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way, wrote Marcus Aurelius. A modern example might be using a health setback to develop greater patience and self-understanding, or turning a professional failure into motivation for developing new skills. Another technique was recognizing the interconnectedness of all things, understanding that what appears bad in isolation may serve a greater purpose in the whole. The Stoics observed how natural disasters, while destructive, often led to renewed growth and ecological balance. Similarly, personal setbacks frequently reveal themselves as crucial turning points that led to unexpected opportunities or necessary course corrections. Perhaps most powerful was the practice of amor fati, love of fate. This goes beyond mere acceptance to actually embracing whatever happens as necessary and perfect. Friedrich Nietzsche, deeply influenced by Stoicism, described it as not merely bearing what is necessary, but loving it. This doesn't mean pretending hardship is pleasant, but finding meaning and purpose even in difficulty. A cancer diagnosis, while unwanted, might become a catalyst for deeper connections with loved ones and a renewed appreciation for life. The journey toward acceptance isn't completed overnight. It requires continuous practice, with inevitable setbacks along the way. Daily exercises help build this capacity. Reflecting on past difficulties that led to growth, practicing gratitude for both pleasant and unpleasant experiences, and regularly examining our reactions to events beyond our control. Small daily frustrations, traffic jams, bad weather, minor inconveniences, become opportunities to practice acceptance before facing larger challenges. With persistence, we gradually develop the ability to face life's challenges with equanimity, responding effectively to what can be changed while peacefully accepting what cannot. This balanced approach leads to both greater effectiveness in action and deeper tranquility in spirit, fulfilling the core promise of Stoic philosophy. The true test of philosophy isn't how well we understand its principles, but how we live them. As Epictetus said, "Don't explain your philosophy, embody it." The Daily Stoic Journal provides a structured approach to this embodiment, offering daily prompts and exercises that transform abstract concepts into concrete habits. The journal follows the three Stoic disciplines, perception, action, and will, organizing them into monthly themes that build upon each other throughout the year. January focuses on clarity, establishing the foundation for Stoic practice. February addresses passions and emotions. March develops awareness of our ruling principles. This progressive structure helps practitioners gradually internalize Stoic principles until they become second nature. Each day presents a new meditation drawn directly from Stoic texts, followed by morning and evening reflection questions. The morning questions prepare us for the day ahead, while the evening questions help us evaluate our progress. This dual reflection practice mirrors the Stoics' own approach to philosophical development. What makes this journal particularly effective is its emphasis on incremental progress. Rather than expecting immediate transformation, it encourages small daily improvements that compound over time. As Zeno of Citium observed, "Well-being is realized by small steps, but is truly no small thing." The journal also recognizes the importance of personalization. While providing structured guidance, it encourages practitioners to adapt exercises to their specific circumstances and challenges. This flexibility honors the pragmatic spirit of Stoicism, which always prioritized practical results over dogmatic adherence to rules. Perhaps most importantly, the journal creates accountability. By documenting our thoughts and progress, we create a record that reveals patterns, highlights growth areas, and celebrates improvements. This written practice transforms vague aspirations into concrete commitments, helping us bridge the gap between philosophical theory and daily life. Despite being over 2,000 years old, Stoicism speaks directly to our modern condition. In an age of distraction, it teaches focus. In a culture of victimhood, it emphasizes personal responsibility. In times of uncertainty and polarization, it offers a stable foundation for meaningful living. The philosophy's enduring relevance stems from its focus on universal human challenges rather than specific historical circumstances. As long as humans face adversity, deal with difficult emotions, and search for meaning, Stoicism will offer valuable guidance. Its principles work equally well whether applied to ancient Rome's political intrigues or today's social media anxieties. Moreover, Stoicism's emphasis on practical application rather than theoretical complexity makes it accessible to people from all backgrounds. Unlike philosophies that require extensive academic study, Stoicism offers immediately applicable insights that anyone can test in daily life. Its effectiveness can be verified through personal experience rather than abstract argument. Recent scientific research has validated many Stoic practices. Cognitive behavioral therapy, one of the most empirically supported psychological treatments, draws heavily from Stoic principles. Studies on resilience, emotional regulation, and well-being consistently confirm what the Stoics intuited centuries ago, that our interpretations shape our experiences more powerfully than external events themselves. As we face unprecedented global challenges, from climate change to technological disruption to political instability, the Stoic emphasis on focusing on what we can control while accepting what we cannot becomes increasingly valuable. The philosophy offers not an escape from these challenges, but a framework for engaging with them effectively and maintaining inner peace amid external chaos. In a world constantly chasing novelty, there's profound wisdom in returning to time-tested principles that have guided countless individuals through history's most difficult periods. The Daily Stoic Journal makes these principles accessible and applicable to contemporary life, offering a path to resilience, virtue, and tranquility that remains as relevant today as it was in ancient Rome.